One of the big questions that I think a lot of people have is, why do we go to church? And I asked a series of questions, some of these questions I want to ask you this morning to the youth here a couple of years ago, or maybe a year back, it hadn't been that long ago. But anyway, the first question is, how many of us come to church every week? How many of us come every week to worship? How many of us come every week to praise? How many come to serve? How many of us come to see who else showed up, what they're wearing, where they sit, and who they sit with? How many of us come to be praised? How many of us come to be seen or even served? We often come to church and have no clue why. We sing a few songs, listen to a sermon. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. I'm not sure how today's going to go yet. And go back to our lives without any change. The problem is that we have no understanding why we're doing what we're doing. If the typical churchgoer comes to worship on Sunday but doesn't know why, then we have a problem. Why then should we go to church? To be more biblically accurate, why should we gather with the church? Because this building, this barn, is not the church. The body of believers inside of it is the church. How will we change this misconception of our time together? We have a purpose, not just as a body, but as individuals too. Do we really know that? Now, because I'm the one standing here this morning, you might think I have all the answers. You're wrong. I need to be reminded why we gather as much as anybody. So why do we gather as the church? We church to glorify God. We gather around God. In Romans 12:1, it says, "And dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship." You know, Audie sang about that this morning, and he didn't have any idea what I was going to talk about today, because I think when they were pulling music, I didn't have any idea what I was going to talk about today. So there's no way that could be planned. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priest. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into the light." In Psalms 150, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of a ram's horn. Praise him with a lyre's harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with a loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians 5:19, it says, "Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and make music to the Lord in your heart. And give thanks for everything that God the Father, give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We gather because we are a body of believers drawn together by God to be a people of God who live for God. We testify to God's greatness. We disciple others through life together. We serve, teach, and encourage not just one another, but the world. We don't ultimately come together for Sunday worship to experience an emotional response. Instead, we gather because God has united us. We gather because we live life together for the purpose of witnessing to the lost. Christians are made to gather together. So do we actually do this? What is the purpose-driven lifestyle for the church? Some people will say that they don't need to go to church because they can catch it on a live stream, on a broadcast, on a podcast. Don't mistake what I'm saying. Don't mistake what I'm saying about a podcast, live stream, or online broadcast. That very well may be the only option you have at the time. It, however, is not the same as gathering and standing in the gap with someone who wants to pray with you or for you, or wants to hear a fishing story, or wants to tell about a hunting trip. You know, I told him first service, and Tracy and I, in January, we got to go to take a few days off, go to San Antonio for our anniversary. And we were sitting around that Saturday afternoon talking about, hey, we'll see if we can find a place to go to church tomorrow, or do we want to watch it on the live stream from Bull Creek? So, you know, we can do that, or, you know, we can go find a church. And we went south of San Antonio to a cowboy church down there. A friend of mine preaches at. I've known for probably 30, 35 years. We knew each other before either one of us was going to church. We knew each other before he was a pastor. But he works for the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches, and I see him every year at cow camp, at church camp. And we were talking about, you know, camps coming up and so on and so forth. We're six, seven months away at that point. And he said, hey, we're going to see you at Oklahoma. And I said, you bet. You know, and I usually go for 2 weeks. Kids come home for a week, and I stay another week and stay on with the camp and work there. And he asked if I was going to do that. I said, you know, I wouldn't miss that for the world. And he said, you know, the camp crew's been talking about you. So they've been talking about me. He said, well, we got something we want you to be praying about. I said, all right, what is it? He said, well, maybe one day in the future, we'd like for you, you know, be praying about maybe one day in the future taking a camp pastor's role. I thought, that'd be cool. I've thought about it a lot. Lots of times, hey, I'd love to do that. One day when I'm ready, I'm way far away from being ready right now. So, you know, a few years down the road, maybe we'll revisit that. And but I did. I started praying about it. And when we left that day, I told Tracy, I said, you know, I said, that's kind of one of the coolest things I could think of to do with camp is to go and be a camp pastor. I said, but ain't no way I'm ready right now. We're looking at the future, the long-range future, you know. And I said, but the thing about it is, if, you know, I've worked with these guys so much in Oklahoma and worked with these guys so much in Texas at these camps that, you know, I don't know that I'd feel comfortable doing it there with them, all those people that I know. Kind of like standing up here in front of all y'all. And I said, so, you know, if it was to come to where I could do it one day down the road, you know, I'd rather go to Alabama and do it instead of Oklahoma or Texas. But 3 weeks later, I run into this guy at another church event, and he said, hey, you've been praying about what we talked about. And I said, yeah, a little bit. He said, good. He said, I need you to go to Alabama for me in June. So we leave Wednesday for Oklahoma camp, and our kiddos come home we leave on the 12th. Our kiddos come home on the 16th. I'll stay there till the 21st. I get on an airplane the 22nd, fly to Alabama, and I'll be the camp pastor to the 28th at Alabama. Okay. And I say that not to toot my own horn, not to tell y'all, look at me, look at what I'm doing. I say that because had we sat at that hotel and watched the live stream from Bull Creek, the Lord would have never placed that opportunity in front of me. I've been struggling with myself over the last year or so. If ministry is where I belong, if you know, if ministry is my calling, and about the time I let Satan convince me that I'm not meant to do ministry, ministry's not my thing, not where I'm supposed to be, then another opportunity comes before me. So at some point here pretty quick, I'm going to have to quit fighting. What the Lord's calling for me. But again, I don't say that for y'all to look at me and see what I'm doing. It's not about me at all. It's about the opportunities that the Lord keeps placing in front of me. And I'm grateful for it. Others see church as a good thing, but don't make time for it. Unfortunately, many are not aware that the people are the church, not the building. I like what Dwight L. Moody says, church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow. It helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Focusing on the issue, Ephesians 4:16 offers wisdom. Everyone is knitted together, supporting one another in order to grow the body and building up in love by properly fulfilling their roles. If every individual person has a purpose, which then comes to realization through obedience, then the body is grown. The body grows. People come together as a church community. Outreach begins, discipleship flourishes, and the gospel of Christ is spread throughout the community. As we help bring others to know Christ, we too become closer to Him. Christ being the head of the church gives Christians a solid foundation and a leader to follow, every day. In John 17, Christ prayed for the future believers to be united as He was united with the Father. We gather so that we can be like Christ. In other words, we gather because we get to enjoy this relationship with God. What is the divide between the pew and the pulpit? Or in our case, the chairs and the pulpit. Everyone has a purpose in the local church. Therefore, there should be no divide between the pew and the pulpit. In fact, the strengths and weaknesses of the members of the local church are instrumental, even complementary. Everyone has something the other does not have. And we are stronger together than we are at every person in our congregation as a vital member of the family. Where I am lacking or weak, you may be strong. Your strengths challenge me to grow and to address my weaknesses, and vice versa. Our vocations and personalities help show off the beauty of the diversity of the bride of Christ. Praise God that every one of us is different, but may we not forget the need for those differences. God has set Christ as the head of the church, as the body of believers gather as a community for God's chosen people. This calls for all walks of life, regardless of background, education, training. Therefore, there need not be a divide in the body, but a celebration that all have been gathered into one flock for God's glory. So when we gather, celebrate God, because we gather for Him, not ourselves. God uses our differences to spread and share the gospel around the world through our diversities. Next time we meet, let's worship together and be joyful for the ability to do the work of the Lord. This is not about us. This is always about Him. Let's close in prayer, guys. Lord God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this building, Lord, to come and worship in, Lord. We thank You for this church, this body of believers as a church, Lord, to come together. And it gets emotional up here, thinking about where you've brought each one of us. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I just ask that you watch over us as we leave here. Keep us safe. Bring us back again next week, Lord. And I lift up all the kids and the sponsors that are going to camp, Lord, and just ask that you watch over them and move mightily in those lives. Lord, we just ask all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, I did forget one thing to mention. The trailer raffle last week, we drawed the name. Last Sunday after church, Isaiah Thomason is the name, the guy that won it from Quinlan. He got his tickets from Mr. Don Holloman. And I tell you, it's always great to give something like that away. It's always rewarding. But man, when I called the guy last Sunday and told him that he won the trailer, I thought the dude was going to cry. And when I got to meet him Monday morning when he came to get it, you know, he was like, man, I've always wanted a trailer like this. I just had never been in a position where I could buy one. He said, man, and he owns his own business. He does metalwork and carpentry and stuff like that. So he needed it. He needed it to haul his material and stuff like that. So it's that tickled me to death, and that's great that someone that actually needed it won it. And it was local. I mean, we sold tickets as far, if I'm not mistaken, we sold tickets as far as New York on PayPal for that trailer. So somebody, one of y'all would have had to take that trailer to New York for them people if they'd have won it. But we raised a lot of money. We got a lot of kids going to camp because of that, and we appreciate y'all for that. Thank y'all very much.